In this life, we will never understand the sufferings of Christ on Calvary, nor his pain when the Father forsook him there. We hear him say, my God, why have you forsaken me? But we can't understand what it was like for the Son to lose fellowship with the Father. Today, some lessons we can understand from this, the fourth saying of Christ on the cross. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Today we turn to Psalm 22, a picture of crucifixion fulfilled to the letter as Jesus gave his life on the cross.
Verse 6, I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. They say he trusted in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let the Lord deliver him. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. That's crucifixion. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Surely somebody in the crowd must have said, this is surely the Son of God, because he's fulfilling Psalm 22. He began by saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Which is verse 1. And if they had known the rest of the verse, they'd have said, this is the Son of God. But there's nobody saying that. You know what they say? They say, he's calling for Elijah. They pretended. This is just part of the mockery. They knew right well he hadn't said Elijah. But because Eli is the beginning of Elijah, they mock him and they say, oh, well, maybe Elijah will come and deliver him. Now leave him alone. He couldn't deliver himself. We taunted him. But let's see whether or not Elijah comes. And you say to yourself, what's going on with these people? What will it take? I want you to know that their heart is no different than the heart of people today. Not one whit different. There are some of you who have heard the gospel Sunday after Sunday after Sunday by radio. You've read the Bible. You've done this like this. And you still haven't responded. And we say, what will it take? I ask you today, what will it take? Heart is no different. Jesus dies and people go on doing their financial transactions, shopping, living their own life, pursuing their own ends as if it doesn't matter. The heart is the same. Three unforgettable lessons standing here at the cross. What are they? First of all, the cross was not just for us. It was for God. The cross was not just for us. It was for God. You know, when in the Old Testament times, when it said that I will pass over you, you remember the Passover, where the blood was put on the lintel of the door, that blood was for the angel, for Jehovah, as he went through the land. And in some of those houses in Israelite territory, there were people with emotional problems, there were people with doubts, there were people who had committed great sins, and even though all of those things are important, at the end of the day, they were spared the judgment because God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And when Jesus died, God saw the blood, as it were, of those who would believe and redeemed them. It's not just for us. Yes, Jesus died for us, but Jesus died for God. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. And you know what it says regarding the death of Christ? It says that his death was a sweet-smelling savor to God. God delighted in it. Now, if you ask the question, well, how can God delight in it, and at the same time God is grieved to see his Son suffer, then you have not given enough thought to what John Piper calls the infinitely complex emotional life of God. But the simple fact is that God was pleased with what Jesus did on the cross. And then God had a public relations problem that he had to take care of. There were people who were accusing him of compromising his holiness because he forgave people in the Old Testament, like David and Elijah and a whole host of other people, like the patriarchs, and no permanent sacrifice had been made for them. So it says in the book of Romans that God had to display Christ as a propitiation because of the sins that were past. And he had to have Christ die so that his justice would be appeased, so no one could say that he is unjust in forgiving great sinners. So it's not just for us that he died, but for God. Second great lesson. He bore our rejection. He bore our rejection so that we might be accepted. We can put that differently. We could say that because Jesus was forsaken by the Father, you and I need never be forsaken by the Father. Now I'm talking about believers, those of you who have trusted Christ as Savior. I'll have a word for you other folks in just a moment. I'm talking about those of you who have prayed to God, those of you who have agonized, those of you who have asked God questions and you have said, God, you've forsaken me. Look at my health. Look at what I'm going through. Look at the grief of those who have gone on. Look at my background. Look at the way in which I was adopted. Look at what I'm enduring at school. Where are you, God? Well, I want you to know today the answer is this, that God says to you believers, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You'll never experience what Jesus experienced because he experienced what he did in your behalf. You say, well, where is God then? Always remember that feelings are not facts. It's possible for you to feel as if God has forsaken you. And when in point of fact, he's not done that at all. In fact, his word, he's got a promise out there that he needs to keep. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus went through darkness that you and I might walk in light. Jesus was cursed so that you and I can be blessed. Jesus was condemned so that you and I might be able to say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus suffered hell so that you and I could be with him and enjoy heaven. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. There's a third lesson. This is now for those of you who haven't accepted Christ as Savior, or those of you who aren't sure, and the good reason that you aren't sure is because you haven't. I'm talking to you. But all sin is very, very expensive. It's really costly. And it's always got to be paid for. I was thinking about this past week, and something dawned on me. If God the Father, who loved the Son so much, his beloved Son, if the Father was willing to hide his face for 3 hours and the Son endure all of this agony and be forsaken by the Father, what will God do to those sinners who do not accept his Son? I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to forsake them. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, that when Jesus comes, it's going to be an everlasting fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. That is being forsaken by God. What is hell? Hell is darkness. Hell is loneliness. And hell is being forsaken by God and man. That is hell. And an eternity in hell will not buy you forgiveness. Sir Francis Newport said, oh, this is before he died. Oh, that I was to lie 1,000 years upon the fire that is never quenched, to purchase the favor of God and be united to Him again. But it is a fruitless wish. Millions and millions of years will bring me no nearer to the end of my torments than one poor hour. Oh, eternity, 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 forever, forever. Oh, the insufferable pain of hell. And with that, he went into eternity. There was a man who was about to die, and his daughter said, she was there in the room, and he said, would you blow out the candle that's on the table? And she said, oh, Daddy, I don't want you to die in the dark. And he said, I want to die as I have lived. You live in darkness, you die in darkness, and you go into outer darkness. Your only hope, my friend, is to respond to Jesus and to say, be my sin bearer. I receive you as my own. I accept the hit that you took on my behalf. Because sin is incredibly serious. Just look at the cross. And I therefore believe in Him. And I trust Him with all that I am, I believe. And if you're listening to this and you're still turning away, I do have to ask you this question. What would it take? Yes, my friend, I do have to ask you, what would it take for you to believe in Jesus? I can't help but think that there are many who have been listening to this broadcast who've never really trusted Christ as Savior. So let me begin with asking this question. Have you come to the point where you know that if you died, you'd go to heaven, where you have that assurance? Assurance is based on what Jesus has done for us. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to say this prayer after me. If it's the cry of your heart, if it is given in sincerity, God will hear, and God will respond. Simply say, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that it is sin that put you on the cross. And I thank you that you are a sin bearer for all who believe. Therefore, at this moment, I transfer my trust to you. I believe in you and receive the gift of redemption and reconciliation and forgiveness. I pray in your name. Amen. It isn't words that save us. It's the act of faith that God gives us and births in our heart. If you've done that, would you let us know? Write to us, call us on the phone. We're always anxious to know about all who trust Christ as Savior as a result of our ministry. God bless you.
Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluded A Cry of Anguish, another in an 8-part series of messages on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. The next words we'll hear from Jesus are these, I thirst. Tomorrow, join us for A Cry of Suffering. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Cries from the Cross can be yours as a challenging book by Dr. Lutzer. We'll send it as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.